Growing up in Los Angeles, California, I frequently watched movies and TV shows. Not just because it was a good way to spend time, but because it was quite literally all around me. The street I lived next to even had to be closed down for a week due to movie filming. So it was only natural that I evolved strict opinions about movies from a very young age. One of those opinions is that the 2013 movie RIPD, an acronym for Rest in Peace Department, is maybe one of the greatest pieces of arts of all time. I am over-exaggerating, but the second I saw this movie, it had a hold on me. Featuring Jeff Bridges and Ryan Reynolds as supernatural undead partners working against Kevin Bacon, and you have a superstar cast. Now, most of the world does not agree with me, and this movie bombed at the box office, and as of this episode, holds a 12% certified rotten rating on Rotten Tomatoes. If you don't know what that means, in short, it sucked and did not make a lot of money. Still, even now, I think that RIPD is a brilliant movie, and I have seen it since I was 7, so I speak on good authority when I say this. But in 2022, I learned something fantastic. RIPD had a second movie. But the issue was I was mistaken. It was not fantastic news. You see, this second movie is a prequel, and I do not like prequels. Hello, and welcome to the first episode of Jackie On, a podcast where I, Jackie, talk about my opinions on a bunch of different topics. This episode is Jackie On prequels and why they are awful. Before getting into it, I want to first thank WDRT for hosting my podcast and giving me the chance to talk about things I'm passionate about. I'm very grateful for their space and their mentorship. Next, I do want to warn anyone listening that this episode has a lot of spoilers for various movies, TV series, and video games, all of which I have either watched or played. You've been warned. Now, let's get into what a prequel really is. It's a portmanteau of the words pre and sequel smashed together. To be clear, when I talk about a prequel, I'm referring to a story that takes place before an original or previous work, but is created after the first one has aired. They usually form some kind of backstory or provide additional details about the characters in the original work. And that's the part I want to be really, really clear on. A prequel is not just chronologically first, but it also provides information that informs the original work and utilizes its characters to some degree. For example, let's say there's a short film of me walking in a park. An adequate prequel might show my upbringing and how I always found myself walking in parks, or might even follow my parents or a mentor who passed down the love of walking in parks to me. An inadequate prequel would be about a bank robbery that happened a week before in another state. Technically, it happened first, but is so removed from me walking in the park, it has no relevance to my story. Although, to be fair, the story of the bank robbers would be much more interesting than learning how I came to love walking in a park. But bringing it back to the non-hypothetical, when you tell someone prequels are awful, they will most likely assume you're talking about the Star Wars prequels. In fact, when I was searching if there were like-minded people on the internet, I immediately found a couple 3-hour-long videos discussing the Star Wars prequels and all of the issues with them. But I'll spare you and just give you an abridged version. Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back, and Episode 6, Return of the Jedi were released first and followed Luke Skywalker in his adventures of becoming a Jedi and defeating the evil Empire. Then Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, and Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith were released as prequels to give background to those movies. It's no secret that the Star Wars prequel movies are not the most popular. Although the reasons for this that cite bad writing, subpar acting, and plot holes are important, in my opinion, they're not what made or broke the prequel. Instead, it was the introduction of midichlorians. In the original trilogy of Star Wars, the Force is described as a powerful energy field that all living beings create. It is quite literally the center of this universe. But in the prequels, the midichlorians are created as a way to explain the Force. To be clear, this is not a species, but a protein type, or is it mitochondria-like, element in one's blood that can be calculated via a midichlorian count, called an M count in the more recent Star Wars stories produced under Disney, because it got too complicated and viewers were understandably very confused. Now, why does this represent the first reason why I think prequels in general suck and are awful? Let me tell you. Oftentimes, original movies come up with brilliant ideas and are able to create a sense of mythical majesty around the world. Prequels come to the table with the need to explain that all away. The Force could have just been a cool life force thing. Instead, it's convoluted with tangibility. Prequels remove mystery from the medium, and I find that having a bit of mystery, albeit without plot holes, is what makes a movie or a series sit in your mind for you to think about. On that note, prequels can often pervert your view of characters. When watching the original trilogy, Darth Vader is this dark and horrid villain who you start to understand a little by the end. In the prequels, he's just a whiny man who didn't get his way. The sense of doom he once mustered is entirely lost because of the background given to him. It dulls your emotions and takes away the agency of the viewer. But enough about Star Wars. Let me get into the second reason, which is that prequels are almost never as popular as the original series they come from. Now, this isn't necessarily a problem in and of itself, but it's a problem in that it feels more like the creators are chasing after the fame and wealth of years past than trying to create a good original storyline. And while the very same thing can be said about sequels, at least sequels extend the storyline and are able to add on new content and high stakes for characters. Prequels just go back in the past and give us more detail about what we already know. So it feels much more like a cash grab than engaging storytelling. And this isn't just conjecture either. The Transformers series has turned a popular Japanese toy into a blockbuster movie franchise. Following cool alien cars that can transform into massive robots and fight evil. But that wasn't enough, and after sequel of increasingly horrible film, Paramount has urged writers to find more ideas for more movies, so it was only a matter of time before they settled on the next cash cow. Transformers 1, set to be released in September 2024, as an animated prequel of Optimus Prime, the lead robot car, and Megatron, and their relationship on Cybertron, which is the planet that they're from, because these are alien car robots. This is a classic example of if you can't go forward, you might as well go backwards. But this can get into some dangerous territory for another reason. Producers want to choose a favorable franchise, but become stuck once they realize they can't really shake the boat, or else the canonical storyline won't make any sense. As a result, many prequels can contradict or mess up the canon established in the original series some way or another. In the Harry Potter universe, for instance, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which was a prequel to talk about Newt Scamander, who's written books that were featured in Harry Potter, this series ended up changing a lot of information regarding being able to summon an animal with the Osseo spell, which has previously only been used to summon inanimate objects. And the killing curse was able to be blocked despite it being lauded as an unblockable curse. And lastly, apparating or teleporting on Hogwarts grounds was always said to be impossible in the Harry Potter original series, but in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, it occurred and was never really addressed. Of course, as a prequel is created, the creator might have realized some flaws within the original series they made. That's all good and fine, but the mass contradictions from book to book or even movie to movie make it hard to believe that the prequel is setting up the original story, especially when there's no reason given for any of these changes and they just happen. But thirdly, if it's so important to see someone's backstory or see the reason how they rose into infamy or fame, then just give us a flashback. Usually most instances can be resolved with mentioning the past or giving a little clip to it if you feel fancy. Combined with the last reason I gave, a backstory clip might suffice over contradicting details, or even having a reference is better. Or try to not have any backstory shown at all and leave it up to the audience's mind to come up with an idea that they think about how things happened. Let their imagination and let them be involved within the storytelling. But truly, the fourth and most concrete reason I think prequels are not worth it is because we already know the exact direction they're going to head into. We know who lives and who dies, who becomes evil and who remains good. Only a deontologist, someone who judges morality through processes, will tell you there's a certain enjoyment one can get from seeing how a character landed in a certain position. Very reminiscent of the same kind of deontologist who says that hearing a spoiler of how a book ends doesn't matter because they want to see how the characters got there. Utter nonsense. I prefer the more consequentialist view, which is that if you can't give me anything that adds to the character I see in the original media, the newer version shouldn't have been made in the first place. While I do consider all the reasons that I just gave to be particularly firm, and I feel pretty staunch in the fact that prequels suck, I do think there are three exceptions to the rules I have just posed. The first one is on video games. In a prequel series for a video game, you are not watching the backstory. You are creating the backstory. That subtle change makes all the difference for an audience member who can now take an active role in the storyline. And because many video games don't abide by rigid plot structures, they do a better job of creating twists, turns, and bringing many a dead person back to life. In addition, video game cameos and references with the original series are created with a mastery that gives players something to look for and not just walk through. I love the video game Borderlands 2. So naturally, I played Borderlands the pre-sequel, which is set between Borderlands 1 and 2. It tells you how the bad guy of Borderlands 2, Handsome Jack, ends up becoming a bad guy and connects all the games together, revealing that the good guys of Roland and Lilith that are posed in Borderlands 1 and 2 might not be as good as you think they are. It is this added complexity that you can play out and slowly unravel which makes for a video game to be more compelling than other media. And again, the amount of cameos of characters from Borderlands 1 and 2 within the pre-sequel created an elevated atmosphere and made it kind of fun to see who would show up next. Secondly, on combined spin-off prequels. For this, I'm talking about the Better Call Sauls of the Breaking Bad franchise. Technically, they are prequels, but they divert away from the main character of the original series enough to be considered spin-offs. And in Better Call Saul, there's enough nuance and value to understanding how Jimmy McGill becomes Saul Goodman that allows this series to stand apart and even surpass, in some ways, the original series. Part of this is achieved by the sheer amount of new characters introduced who are not in the main franchise and thus have unclear fates. A great example of this is Kim Wexler, who you start to love by the end of the series, but are really unsure about what happens to her because she's not in Breaking Bad at all. And so that idea of mystery and of being like, what's going to happen to Kim, is something that's pretty compelling within Better Call Saul. But the show's success is also because in the last season, it becomes more of a sequel to explain what happened to Saul after the events of Breaking Bad. In this way, it's more accurately characterized as a spin-off, and I think that's why it's more successful, because it's not just a prequel with a backstory, but it also gives you a future on-looking perspective to consider in the last season. Thirdly, on the world-building aspect. I feel that if you have a series of movies or a world that has inspired media within it, a prequel that develops that world further and reaches into places the viewer might not have seen before is quite valuable, especially if there are more movies planned for after the prequel. A great example of this is Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. It wasn't a perfect movie, and I do think Mad Max Fury Road was better, but it was a movie all about building the character of Furiosa and showing how she was pivotal to the world itself, acting as an agent of chaos in the plans of many like Dementis, who's a new character that you get to understand the world with. From the inner workings of the Citadel to the conflict between Gastown and the Bullet Farm, the world building in Furiosa gave the viewer new things to digest and new things to add to the story, so it wasn't just bland, as maybe it could be with a regular type prequel. I would also argue that these three reasons can connect to each other, that every video game prequel can be worthwhile because they all focus on world building to a certain degree. Video games are huge on making the player feel like you are involved in the world, making choices, and changing how the characters interact. In many video games, there might be seemingly stupid quests that you don't want to do, but they add flavor, they add the world building, they make it so that you understand what's happening and how it affects the greater world of the video game. And I think that's pretty incredible. I think a video game that can be seen as both a spin-off and a prequel and also has incredible world building is Red Dead Redemption 2. Part of this is also because it was created after Red Dead Redemption, and so its graphics and gameplay have been wildly updated and are far superior to that of Red Dead Redemption. But it's also because it was able to expand upon these three reasons that I gave you, and it's become probably one of the most successful modern video games that have been created. And so I think this is really unique to video games or even certain mediums, is that when you make a prequel, you have to be careful about what kind of prequel you're making. Is it just a backstory, or are you going further? But at the end of the day, everything that is wrong with prequels can pretty much be summed up by the Star Wars prequels and their lack to deliver on, well, anything. Because sometimes even a fandom for a wildly popular series gets it right, prequels are awful. And while I've watched a lot of movies and enjoyed even the stupidest ones, like R.I.P.D., I promise you should go watch it. It really is a fantastic movie. Nothing in this world will get me to watch R.I.P.D. 2, because I still don't like prequels. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Jackie On. I hope that maybe even a little bit, I've changed your perspective of prequels to be more negative than positive. I will see you in the next episode.